This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. When the Kentucky Derby runs May 1st, my guest Shane Sellers will once again be in the saddle. One of the top riders of thoroughbred racing, Sellers will ride in his 15th Derby. He's had more than 20,000 starts and has won 2 Breeders' Cups. But he's also endured the physical punishment riders often inflict on themselves to keep their weight low enough to compete at racing's highest level. And he was out of racing for 2 years after a devastating knee injury. A new documentary about the sometimes grueling life of the racetrack premieres Monday on HBO. It's called Jockey, and Sellers is one of 3 riders featured in the film. Sellers is spearheading a campaign to raise weight limits for riders and improve their working conditions. Some racetracks are raising their minimum weight limits from 113 to 116 pounds. It's only 3 pounds, but a big difference to riders struggling with their weight. A recent 5-year study of the overall health of jockeys found they have 5 times the rate of respiratory infection of the general population and 10 times the incidence of kidney damage caused by chronic dehydration and malnutrition. One of the jockeys featured in the HBO documentary is Randy Romero, who's been nominated this year to the Racing Hall of Fame. He's currently waiting to be put on the donor's list for a kidney. Another is a young apprentice jockey, Chris Rozier.
People quit smoking, people quit drinking, but heaving is the hardest thing to me. It's the hardest thing in the world to quit. I've tried dieting, I've tried quitting, but it always seems just when you think you're doing good, somebody wants to go to eat, and you're sitting there and you're looking at the menu, it's like, man, I want this big cheeseburger, I want this steak, and it's hard. And it's something I wish I would never started. And a lot of my older riders told me never started. But it's something I grew up around watching, and I wanted to do it bad enough, so I took the easy way.
I spoke to Shane Sellers last week. Well, Shane Sellers, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You mentioned in the HBO piece that a lot of jockeys don't have a lot of education, and this is sort of their way out. Was that true with you?
Yeah. I went to the 12th grade. I mean, I didn't have no choice. My dad made me promise that I'd finish high school, and I did. I went to at least 2 weeks before graduation, and he saw that I was riding at racehorses at night, going to school in the morning. Well, I'd get up in the morning, actually, go and work horses, gallop them in the morning, then go straight to school, come home, and then we had night racing at Delta Downs. And so I did the both of them until, again, 2 weeks before my graduation, and then he just saw that riding was going to be my life, and he let me quit.
Tell us what it's like to be riding a 1,000-pound animal at blinding speed around a track in a pack of people. Give us a sense of what it feels like to ride in a race.
It's quite a rush, and the thing about it is that you're on such a big animal, and you only weigh 112 to 115 pounds, and you have to guide that animal, and you're surrounded by other horses, and you're depending on those riders on those other horses to guide those horses around, and it's an adrenaline rush. I mean, especially when you're in a position that there's a certain point in the race where you just know you're going to win. And there's a position point in the time where you know that you're not going to win. So it goes both ways, but there's no feeling like it.
There's a ton of noise. You got mud coming up in your face?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're in back, there's a lot of mud thrown back at you. Some days, if it's muddy, it's really sloppy, and you got to wear more goggles, and hopefully you don't run out of goggles, there's noise, but I don't think you really hear the noise because you're so concentrating on what you're doing at the time, and I'm paying attention to the horses in front of me, and particularly where the horses I think are that I have to beat in the race, say in some instances I'm stuck behind 2 or 3 horses that I know that are dying in the race, not really dying, but I mean, or just out of horse, and they're backing up in my face, and I need to find a way to get out from around them and get back into the race. If I see a horse that's going to is stuck behind a horse and he gets out and makes a move, I want to take that position. Just positioning yourself to win, you know, and it's not the easiest thing to do. And sometimes it's not exactly like you planned it out in your head. I mean, you always go out there with a game plan, but sometimes, and most of the time when the gates open, sometimes, you know, those plans are out the door right away. Say your horse stumbles out of the gate. You thought you was going to be the speed of the race, and oops, my horse stumbled. Now I'm laying fifth. Now what do I do? You know, and so sometimes you got to go to plan B, and you have to think of many different scenarios and run that race different kind of ways in your head, because it doesn't always happen the way you think it's going to happen.
That moment that we've all seen when the horses are in the gate and there's a minute or so when they're getting everybody settled in, ready to go, what are you feeling at that moment?
I'm just first and foremost trying to be calm on my horse, because they're so fractious in the gate. All they know is run, and they're waiting for that gate and anticipating that gate to open. So some of them get high strung. So, there's a calmness you have to have in you, and the calmer you are in your horse, the calmer he's going to be. But at the same time, your mind is running different ways. You know, what's going to happen? What I'm going to do here? I'm playing that race out in my head. You know, I'm wanting to do this. I'm wanting to do that. You're still playing that race out in your head. That way, when the scenario does happen, you know exactly what to do, and you don't have to think about it, because you don't have time to think about it. That's I think what makes some riders better than others. They don't think. They just react upon their instincts.
You mentioned the horses are jittery because they want to run. How do you communicate that to them, that they need to calm down? Is it by patting them? Is it talking to them?
Different ways. Just the calmness. You know, you're tense on the horse and they're tense up. We horses have mane, and you have to hold on to that mane. But when they break, well, I never grab the mane until right before, because when you grab that mane, they know that they're fixing to kick them. That's one thing I don't do. And I see some riders grabbing mane right when they go in there, and you can see their horses just start to get jittery with them. And I don't. I don't touch their mane until right before the last horse is going in. I kind of grab it really soft and try to leave there. It's just being calm, just a calmness. Horses know they're not stupid animals, and you get on them, you have a calmness about you. You can just feel them. You can just feel them relax. It's like they take a deep breath, and you know everything's all right. You know.
What weight did you ride at? Or do you ride at your? Yeah.
I used to ride at 113 until I got hurt, and when I came back off of my injury, we were all fighting to change the weights, and I honestly couldn't do 13 anymore. I mean, I had never been off of riding more than 2 or 3 weeks, you know, on a vacation, and I was off 2 years. So my body blew up to probably what my normal body weight was 135 strip. That's, you know, naked. And so to get back to riding, to do 13, I had to get down to 110 pounds, and I just couldn't lose it. And then at the same time, I wanted to practice what I preach. If I was going to fight for the weight being what we was fighting for, was trying to make it 116 minimum, I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna weigh 116. And so what I ride at now is 117. It's comfortable for me. I still have to get in the box and pull a couple pounds, but I don't have to heave. I don't have to take Lasix anymore, and I'm much stronger when I go into the box, and I'm much stronger when I ride, and it hasn't hurt my business one bit at all.
Now, you used a couple of terms there, the box, Lasix. Let's back up a little, and when you were trying to ride at 113, you know, if I'm doing the math right, that's 22 pounds below what might have been your normal body weight. What did you do to keep your weight down?
Oh, there was many methods. What I did early in my career was I was taught to heave, which is regurgitate your food, and which is unfortunate. I was a young kid, and I didn't know how to. I mean, when I first started, I weighed 116, and I needed, as an apprentice, you get in lighter than journeyman, so I had to weigh 107, 108 with my tack. So that meant I had to be 104. And I said, well, what am I going to do here? And the older riders they taught me how to heave.
What is the box?
The box is a hot box, a sweat box, a sauna. You know, some people might go in for 5 or 10 minutes to loosen up. We get in them for hours, you know, a day to lose 3, 4, 5 pounds. Now you go sitting there, and you and I've never seen you, but I'm sure if you, you know, if you go in there and try to pull a pound, and you see how it feels, and you're talking about we get in there, and we're already starving to death, you know, when we go in there, we're already underweight, and then we go in there and stay in there and pull 2 and 3 pounds. It's tough. It's tough, and we do it because we love the sport, and if we didn't do it, there wouldn't be no horse racing. You know, bottom line, if you took the hot boxes out of the jocks room and everything else, and you said the riders are not going to heave, they're not going to take Lasix, you'd have a handful of riders who could ride. You'd have maybe a handful.
You take Lasix. What is that? What does it do to you?
I don't take Lasix anymore. I did. Lasix is a I guess what they give to heart patients to take fluid off. And if you take a Lasix, I mean, you urinate very, very much. So I mean, you could lose 2, 3 pounds taking one Lasix.
So when you were,
but it's not good at all for your body. I mean, it's horrible.
So when you were doing this before, and you'd ride several races in a day, would you heave every day? Would you heave several times a day?
Sure. Early in my career, I would heave. I would hit the box. Sometimes I would do all three.
And
go out and ride 7, 8, 9 races a day.
What are the long-term effects of that kind of behavior?
I really don't know. I'll tell you the longer-term effects is what's happening to Randy Romero right now.
He is one of racing's best known and most successful jockeys, and he quite ill, right?
Very ill. Yes.
There's a scene in the HBO film where you walk through a training room. I believe you called it jail. It evokes a kind of a queasy feeling for you to go in there, right?
Yeah, that's the hot box. Yeah. That's the hot box.
And there's a special tub for a special kind of commode, I guess, for heaving, right? The tracks have installed, right?
Well, some tracks have, yes. Most tracks have. I mean, Churchill Downs has a heaving bowl. Arlington Park has one. So I mean, racetracks know that they're not naive about what you're doing. You know, they put the facilities there for you to do what you have to do to take your weight off.
Shane Sellers, tell us what the rules are about a jockey's weight and who sets them.
Well, every state sets it. The horse racing board in every state sets it, and you know, and it's according to what they want. And now, in the last year or two, there have been places that make the bottom 16. I know at Keeneland they make the bottom. You don't see many horses getting in with lighter than 116. Arlington Park. New Orleans, fairgrounds in New Orleans, but there are some racetracks that don't want. And the CHRB, which is the California Horse Racing Board, they're going to make changes, and they're going to make significant changes to the weights because of the studies that are there. Now, it's going to be fascinating or interesting to see how many racetracks other than them are going to do it.
Let me ask you: you've said that you need to get the minimum weights changed. Why is that?
I really don't care what they do with the top weight. I just want the minimum changed because I don't want to have to do, you know, if the bottom's 13, well, then if I got a guy that's willing to go and kill himself to do 13 and I do 17 and we're fighting for the same horse, well, that owner say if he's getting with 13, he said, well, I'll ride Joe Schmo because he can do 13. I'm not going to ride Sellers because he's 17, and I'm going to have to carry 3 pounds over. Some guys are willing to risk their health to make 13. All riders want it to bring the minimum up so we don't have to have that, you know, that fight amongst each other. The bottom 16, it's 16. You can't do no lighter. You know, it puts us all in the same boat. And you know what? Racing, it'll be much better for racing. We have trainers will have stronger riders, and it'd be much more better for horse racing in general.
I've got to tell you, 116 sounds awfully light still to me. Is that where it should be?
You can't make it too heavy. I mean, you can't go out there and have linebackers up on your horse. I'm not that naive. We're not that naive. but the scale of weights have been for 100 years.
So the only way to make it have a fair competition is to say you can't ride unless you're up to a certain weight, because if you're allowed to come in at a lower weight, then the owners will pick the lighter weight guys, forcing people like you to abuse your bodies.
Exactly. Most of us ride at 2 to 3% body fat, and anything below 5% is detrimental to your health. What we're trying to do, and what we will do eventually, is grandfather the guys that are in already that have been riding. But you know, like in 2005, we're going to try to make it to where any jockey that gets a license cannot ride under 5% body fat. It's because it's detrimental to your health, and that's what we're going to fight for. Not Shane Sellers, not Randy Romero, but every rider in America, as a jockey's organization, as our jockey's guild, our organization is going to fight for that. That a rider, he cannot ride if he's under 5% body weight, and that's for the young riders coming in, to protect them from doing any more harm to their bodies.
Shane Sellers, tell us about the injury that took you out of racing.
The injury happened at the fairgrounds in Louisiana, and I was aboard a two-year-old for Claiborne Farms, and trained by Frankie Brothers, who was my main client, and he spooked from another horse. He had never run before. He was a very young horse, and he spooked from a horse and unseated me, which I landed on my feet, but in fear that he would hurt himself or hurt somebody else, you know, because they'll get to running around and just don't have nowhere to go. And I grabbed him on the offside and by the rein, and I held on to him, and he drugged me for a piece. And I probably should have never have grabbed him. I should have just let the outrider grab him. But, you know, again, we love these animals. We love the game of horse racing, and I didn't want to see anybody get hurt. And I grabbed him, and I held on him. I used bad judgment, and I held on him way too long, and I fell underneath him, and he stepped on my left knee and just ruined my career.
What did it feel like?
It was a horrible feeling. I remember him stepping on the left side of my knee, and just like a cracked block, it just ripped everything in my knee, and it was the most horrific pain I ever had in my life. And when it happened, I when you're walking around and you bump your arm on something, or first thing you want to do is rub it off and make sure everything is okay. And when I felt it, I got to my feet, and I just thought, let me get to my feet and see if I can walk. And when I took a step on my leg, my kneecap went the other way, and I just fell down, and I just cried from the pain, and I cried because I knew at that moment my career was over.
What was it like to be out of racing? I mean, you had to get an operations, I assume, and a lot of rehabilitation. And for that time, you had to be away from the track, or at least know you weren't going to ride again. What was that like?
It was horrible. I went through depression. I went through my family suffered, because I was home all the time. I just got to where I couldn't get out the house. I didn't want to get out the house. I never knew nothing else but riding horses, and the thought of me having to do something else, I didn't know what to do, and it was a pretty scary moment in my life, probably the scariest moment in my life.
Were you financially strapped?
No, I had a great career, and I saved my money. I mean, it wasn't, and thank God that I had a disability policy, which most riders can't afford, but I've had some good people, thank God, point me in the right direction financially and force me to get a disability policy, and I had one, so I had an income every month. But that's another thing that riders can't, 80% of riders cannot afford a disability policy, and if you don't have one, when you fall, you have no income coming in. But I was fortunate enough to have a disability policy.
One of the characters in the HBO documentary is a youngster named Chris Rozier, who wants to become a jockey, and you know, you and some others kind of give him some advice. I'm wondering if your kids wanted to pursue a career as a jockey, would you let them?
Never. And I've purposely kept my kids away from horse racing, not because I don't like the game, but in fear that they would want to ride. And I don't want to see them go through what I go through every day. I'll do it. I'll do it because it's what I've done. But there's too many things. I mean, a month ago, one of my friends got killed riding. You know, he fell on an accident. He got killed. You know, it's a very, very dangerous profession.
Have they shown any interest to your kids? I mean, they must be excited at what their dad does, no?
They are, but they don't have any interest at all. They like horses, but I keep them away from it. I let them come for the big days, but I always tell them, just enjoy watching Daddy, and you're going to do something else. You're going to play baseball. You're going to play football. You're going to do whatever. You're going to be a kid. You're not going to be anything remotely close to a jockey.
Well, Shane Sellers, thanks so much for speaking with us.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thoroughbred jockey Shane Sellers, who will be riding Cliff's Edge, one of the favorites at this year's Kentucky Derby. Sellers is one of three riders profiled in the documentary Jockey, which opens tonight at the Philadelphia Film Festival and appears Monday on HBO.